It's good to have all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We appreciate you being here and pray that you will come back at every opportunity. We need to remember our pastor and his wife, Pat, are away this past week on vacation. We need to remember them as they travel home and pray that the Lord will refresh them. And then remember, of course, our services this evening at 6 p.m. We will have our evening services. And remember our church picnic. In our bulletin is more information concerning the church picnic on May 14th. Our message this morning will be brought to us by Brother Jonathan Pledger. I believe we all know Jonathan. We need to be in prayer for Jonathan as he brings the message to us. Jonathan, you come.
If you would, open your Bibles with me to start with to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We have been so blessed as a church. Blessed with a faithful pastor, blessed with faithful deacons and faithful members. It's a real blessing to be a part of this church. And you think, am I talking about you? Yeah, I'm talking about each of you. I'm so blessed to be part of this church along with you. And to have the opportunity to worship our Lord together, or two or three are gathered in his name. Our Lord Jesus is in our midst. He's here today. And what a blessing to have you together around with our Lord Jesus Christ and attempt to worship him today. It's a true blessing. So the title of the message this morning is Great Faith. Great Faith. And I prepared this message with a thought in mind that, like me, I'm sure you would like to have great faith. That's a desire of every believer, I believe, to have great faith. And we know the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't say that it's difficult or unlikely. It says it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we want it to be able to be said about us, as the scripture says about Abraham, don't we? The scripture says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How did Abraham give glory to God? Because he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. What God had promised, he was able to perform. It's very important in this message that we pause here for just a second and understand that Abraham had a word. He had a promise from God. And he staggered not at God's word. His faith was in God's word and God's promise. And that's how he gave glory to God, by believing God's word, by believing God's promise. Now notice here, Matthew 17, we're going to look at various scriptures today. I hope you have your Bible with you, and if you do, that you'll turn with me. Matthew 17, verse number 14. Verse number 14, the scripture says, "And when they were come down to the multitude," that is, the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter, James, and John, "there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting. And turn forward, if you would, to me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 17. Matthew 21, verse 17, and the Lord Jesus left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, that is, no fruit. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, I don't know about you. I think I do know about you. But I'm not able to say unto a mountain, be lift up and be cast into the sea. And I'm not able, as in a, we saw in another scripture, I'm not able to say unto a sycamore tree, be you lift up by your roots and then go be planted again in the sea. None of us can we? So does that mean we don't have any faith? Is that what the Lord Jesus is saying here? He said, if you told his disciples, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, what I've read is that that was like the smallest seed that there was. So was the Lord saying that if we cannot do these things, that we have no faith? And just in passing here, let me say this. I don't believe that when our Lord Jesus told his disciples, his apostles this, I don't believe he was speaking literally of having a mountain, telling a mountain to be lifted up and cast into the sea, or telling a tree to be replanted in the sea. But he was speaking of things equally as impossible to men. If he was speaking of that, then, you know, if he was literally speaking of the mountains and of the trees, that shouldn't surprise us. The one who created the mountains and the trees can give the power to move them by the word of man through faith in him. But I don't believe that that's what he was speaking of. I believe he was speaking of things that are equally impossible for man. And as I said, we're not able to heal the sick, and we're not able to raise the dead, and we're not able to cast out evil spirits. So does that mean that we have no faith? Does that mean we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have no faith in God? Of course, I believe you know the answer to that. But I do believe that for many a believer, and perhaps for a young believer, they could read these passages and become concerned when they read these words of our Lord, and how does it apply to them. In the cases we read, our Lord Jesus was speaking to those unto whom he had given a word. He had given them a promise that great wonders and signs and miracles would be worked by them through faith in him. He was speaking to those that he had endowed with special powers through faith in Christ, faith of miracles. That's who he was speaking to here. Look in back, if you would, see this, back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. Scripture says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, that is, when the Lord had called his 12 disciples, notice, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Look down at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, the Lord had given them a word. He had given them a promise. And he said, when you go and you preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean by that? We're told that the Lord Jesus preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The kingdom of God was at hand. He told his apostles to preach that. He told his disciples to preach that. What were they saying? They were saying that the kingdom of God, that is the Messiah, the one that God had promised that would come into this world, that he was among them and was tabernacling with them. That the word that John the Baptist had preached when he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand, that word was true. That when he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, God was confirming that that message was true. We saw that in the lesson in one of the verses Brother Streeter read this morning when Philip preached. He preached the message concerning Christ and worked miracles confirming the message that he preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was indeed true. Look, if you would, now to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. Luke 10, 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. We saw where he appointed the 12. Now he appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now notice down in verse 8. And the Lord told them, into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and you say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. You see, when the Lord commissioned the 12 and then he commissioned the 70, you see here, they were sent into every city, the scripture says, and place whither he himself would come. As John the Baptist was a forerunner, these 70 disciples and these 12 apostles were also forerunners to Christ coming into those cities. He said the message that they were to preach is the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. How is it nigh unto you? It's nigh unto you because the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come into your city. And he said, even if they don't believe, you tell them one more time, notwithstanding, be you sure of this, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. You see, God purposed that he would bear testimony that Jesus was indeed the Son of God by miracles and wonders and signs through those who preached the message until the Word of God, the Bible, was complete. You see, at this time when these apostles and these disciples went into these cities where the Lord Jesus was going to come, they didn't have a Bible like we have. I was thinking this week, We live in such an age where we have God's Word so accessible to us. I think I have 3 Bible apps on my phone at any time. What a blessing. What a blessing, but what a responsibility. But these that they went to preach the gospel to, they didn't have that privilege. And until God's Word was complete, God ordained. You say, why did He ordain that? Because He's all wise. And He ordained that those who brought that message until His Word was complete, that they would also work signs and wonders, thereby confirming that the Lord Jesus truly is the Son of God. But here's the point. These apostles and chosen disciples, they had a promise. They had the word of Christ. The Lord Jesus had given them His word. Go, preach this message, and through faith in Me, you will have power over all these things. And they did. And they did. I want us to look at one example of this, and then I'll try to settle down a little bit here in the passages that we're turning to. But look over with me after the Lord Jesus had died and rose again and ascended. Look in Acts chapter 3 with me. Acts chapter 3. Let's see an example of this in action. These who the Lord had commissioned. Acts chapter 3. I know that, like me, you love to read this instance here. Acts chapter 3. You can't help but have your heart leap within you when you read this scripture here. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. In other words, they asked for help, or he asked for help. Peter, fastening eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Thought maybe they would give him a coin. Oh, but there was so much more. There was so much more that they would share with him. For freely they had received, and freely they would give. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And notice, he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? And why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we've made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And notice, "In His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." You see what the Lord commissioned them to do. You see it in practice here. The Lord said, "Freely you've received, freely give." And that's what they did here. And they were speaking to those who had taken the Lord Jesus Christ and crucified him. confirming, God, by these miracles, confirming, yes, that one that you crucified, he has indeed risen and ascended to the right hand of God, and it's by his power. Someone who has no being, someone who's dead, has no power. It's by his power, by faith through him, that this man is raised up. I say again, God the Father bore testimony to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God through these miracles, and that the message that the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he was the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent, that he is the Lamb of God. All of those truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, God chose in his infinite wisdom to use miracles and signs and wonders to confirm that message. But you know, you say, what does that have to do with us? That's great. We love to read about all that. But what does that have to do with us here this morning? I say that our merciful and gracious Father, he's given us so much more. More than working signs and wonders and miracles, yes. Our God has given us so much more. Because he not only has given us his word, where we can read of these signs and wonders that were done in confirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's given us so much more. He's given us the truth concerning the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the truth concerning the victorious death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. He's given us the truth concerning the triumphant resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he led his disciples out to that mountain and before them ascended up on high. Yeah. And they watched him ascend back from where he had come. And has given us so, so much more. You say, well, if I could just work a miracle, if I could just work a miracle, then I would be happy as a believer. If I could just cast out an evil spirit. Oh, no, God has given us so much more. He's given us so much more than that. You know, in the scripture, you never see the Lord Jesus Christ wondering and marveling that these disciples could work miracles. Never see it. Let me show you that. Look over in Luke chapter 10. I know we're looking at passages that you know, but they're good to be reminded of. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, verse number 17. We saw a few minutes ago where the Lord commissioned the 70 to go out, and now they come back. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why, Lord? Because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Here's something for you to rejoice in. Not that you can do these signs and wonders that I think the Lord is, of course, speaking comparatively. There's nothing wrong with them rejoicing that what the Lord said that he could truly keep. But the Lord speaks comparatively here. You know, compared to that, that's nothing. Rejoice in this. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's something to rejoice in. You see, the Lord has given us so much more. So much more has been recorded for us in the Word of God. You know, I don't have time to get into just all the truths that are revealed to us that the Old Testament believers and those during the time that our Lord was upon this earth, they had only in type and shadow. And where we have the full revelation of these things in God's Word. I'll just mention one of these, predestination. That God has predestined us to be adopted into his family. that he has predestinated us to be heirs and joint heirs with his blessed, glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world could they have ever known that? Until it was given to us in the scriptures here. The full revelation of God in his word. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The Lord said, don't rejoice that you can work these miracles. Of course, freely you've been given, freely give out. But rejoice in this, your names are written. They're written in heaven. They're written in the Lamb's book of life. How would we know about that Lamb's book of life if there was not the book of Revelation? We wouldn't. Now, I've taken a long time to get to where I'm trying to get to here, but I'm going to be brief for the rest of this message, or I'm going to try to. I want us, for a few minutes, to think of two examples where the Lord Jesus said to human beings like you and I that their faith was great. Two examples. And I'll be brief. I want us to read these two examples, and then I just want to share with you five things that I see in these scriptures. Look in Matthew chapter 8. What does the Lord Jesus call great faith? Matthew chapter 8. Is it being able to work miracles? He never once called that great faith. Matthew chapter 8. Verse number 5, and I'm going to try to just read these passages and then give you five truths that I see in them. Matthew 8, verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at the other passage of scripture where the Lord says that someone had great faith. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 21. It's very, very hard to read these passages and not comment along the way. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and they besought him, saying, Send her away. For she cries after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So let me briefly just point out five things. The Lord called to the centurion and to this woman, said that their faith was great, that he had seen faith no greater than what he saw among the centurion, and then he called this woman's faith great. Five things that they had in common. We want great faith, don't we? I feel so often my faith is smaller than the grain of mustard seed. But I don't want it to be that way, and I know you don't either, believer. We want to have great faith, but what does the Lord say is great faith? Not what we think it is, but what does he say that it is? Here's the first thing, and I'll be brief with this. First of all, they both knew they had a great need that only the Lord Jesus Christ could meet. That's the first thing that they have in common. See, there was no need for them to turn anywhere else or to anyone else. There was only one who could meet their need, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew that. That's one thing that they knew. They had great physical needs. But friends, we have a great spiritual need. We may also have great physical needs today, and I don't minimize those. But we all have great spiritual needs. You say, what's our need? We have a sick heart. We have a sick heart. That's what the scripture says. Scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our Lord Jesus said it's out of the heart that proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. You ever have evil thoughts proceed out from your heart? You ever have evil actions? The Lord said they start from the heart. We have a problem. We have a sick heart. You know, the sinner starts feeling a little conviction for his sin. And the first thing we think is, you know, we need to turn over a new leaf. We need to improve ourselves a little bit. And then we're going to go to church. Then we're going to get back in church. The problem is, our Lord said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can any of us change the color of our skin? Or can a leopard change his spots? He said, then may you also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. You see, we need a new heart. We have a great need. We need a new heart. And there's only one. And those who have great faith know this. There's only one who can help our great need. There's only one great physician. Think about it. Would you say, I can't go to the doctor because I'm too sick? Nobody would say that, would they? I can't go to the doctor because I'm too sick to go to the doctor. Then why do we say we can't come to Christ? Because we're too sick. My heart is too sick. It's too evil. It's too sinful. We need a new heart. That heart that God gives us in the new birth. We must be born again, for it's from the heart that man believes unto righteousness. It's not that old heart. It's not that wicked heart that we all still carry with us that continues to do battle with the new heart in this world. We need a new heart, don't we? And only the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can give us that new heart. Those who have great faith, they know that. They know that that's true. Here's a second thing. They both confessed that they were unworthy. They were unworthy of the mercy that they were asking for. Our pastor often tells us, well, if you were worthy of it, it wouldn't be mercy. Right? The mercy and grace is for the unworthy. The centurion, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Lord, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And the Lord Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman, he said, it's not meet for to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Don't you love the response of this woman of faith that we have revealed here in the scripture? She said, truth, Lord. Lord, if anyone ever spoke the truth, you do. truth, Lord. Yet, even she responds, even the little dogs, not these great, majestic-looking dogs. She said, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. The picture is, you know, the master of the house has children, and the children have these little dogs. And the master gives his children the food. Have you ever seen a family with young children get up from a table? Food everywhere, right? Bring out the broom and the mop, especially if you're letting them feed themselves. That's what the woman says. Truth, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall. In other words, yes, Lord, I'm unworthy. I am unworthy. And my friends, we are unworthy that the holy, spotless, harmless, just Son of God should show mercy to us.
That's right.
We're unworthy. But the Lord Jesus came into this world, the scripture says, what? To save sinners. He came not to save, not to heal the whole, but those that are sick. Are you sick this morning? Those who have great faith know that they're unworthy that God should show mercy to them. Number three, they both had a great confidence in the power and the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet their need. They had that in common, their great faith. They had confidence that the Lord Jesus could meet their great need. The centurion said, Lord, you don't need to trouble yourself and come. Just say the word. He was confident that the Lord had the power to do what he said he would come to do. Just say the word. He said, I'm a man under authority. There's people that I'm in charge of, and I tell them go, they go. I tell them to come, and they come. Lord, all sickness, all things are under your power, under your control. You're the holy, all-powerful Son of God. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And the woman, we're told about her, first of all, that she worshiped him. Worship is only for God. She worshiped him. We're told she called him the Son of David. She had great confidence that as the Messiah, as the Son of David, she could meet the needs of God's people. And she confessed, I love this, she confessed that though it was impossible for her or for anyone else to meet her need, that for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was no more than just a little crumb. Not hard for him. Lord, impossible for me, but not hard for you. Why? Because of who they believed that he was. God manifest in the flesh.
Yeah.
Number four, neither one allowed their unworthiness to keep them from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for help.
Yeah.
They both confessed they were unworthy, but it didn't stop them from coming. They did not allow it to stop them from coming. No, they cried, Lord, help me. Yes, I'm unworthy, but Lord, help me. Help me. You may be thinking, I'm so unworthy. Well, join the crowd. Join the crowd with the person who's up here trying to bring God's glorious gospel to you today. I'm so unworthy. Oh, yes, I'm so unworthy. But you know what? That should not stop us from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Great faith will still come, even if unworthy. You know, there's a verse of a hymn that we used to sing that was in our old hymn book. I'm not sure. I didn't look if it's in the new hymn book. I know we haven't sung this hymn in a long time, but I think the title of it is, I Will Arise and Go to Jesus. There's one verse that says, let not conscience make you linger, or of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is that you feel your need of him. What a glorious gospel for the unworthy. For the unworthy. And here's the last thing, in the fifth place. And there are so many more. Brother Lance could come up here tonight and just pick right up where I leave off and give you 10 more wonderful truths that you see in these passages. But here's the fifth thing. They both received the help that they so desperately needed. Isn't that good? they both received the help that they so desperately needed. I told you early on in the message, Abraham gave glory to God by believing that God was able to accomplish what he had promised, by accomplishing his word. And sinner, we have a word from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a word. We have a promise. It's not that we can work miracles and cast out demons and devils and evil spirits. No, but we have a much better word. There's nothing to indicate that Judas, the son of perdition, didn't work miracles and signs and wonders. We have a much greater blessing, a much greater word. Our Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Anybody here? I believe there is. I believe the Lord gave me this message for someone here, if not for no one else, for me. Is there someone here laboring and heavy laden under the burden of your sin? Yes, we are to feel our unworthiness. We are to feel our sinfulness. Yes, but we're not to stay there. Great faith is not staying there in that place. No, it's not letting that stop us from coming to the only one who can help us, the one we have a word from, a promise from, that he will. He will help those who are laboring and heavy laden with sin. I will give you rest. He doesn't stop there. There's more. Even more. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you, believer. Take the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you this morning. We don't use that word yoke so much today because we have these big John Deere's and, you know, Kubotas and all these tractors. But a yoke for some of you young people here, y'all may not know what a yoke is. A yoke is generally, it would be some type of contraption, some type of wood contraption that would go between two beasts of burden, and those beasts would pull a plow or pull a cart or pull something. And you can always tell the ones that are well trained, because when they come with that yoke, they'll just put their head down. You ever had a good horse that comes and instead of, you know, fighting and pulling back and put their head down to put their reins on them, the Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. We have a word. If you've never come to Christ, come now. If you have come to Christ, come now. Yeah. He'll give us rest from our sins and our guilt, and he will give us fulfillment in this world. Oh, we become like Solomon, vanity of vanity. All things are vanity. Everything's empty in this world. No, the Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You'll find rest unto your souls." Not only rest from sin, not only rest from the burden of our sins, but rest to live in this world. Rest to not live our life in this world in a miserable fashion. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We have his promise. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Scripture says there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that will call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's call upon him right now in our hearts. Lord, just like these two that the Lord said had great faith. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. May the Lord give us this great faith. Faith to trust him. We have a word. We have I feel like that this truth came home to me this week. We have so much more. Have so much more than these disciples or even apostles had. Have so much more. God's given us his word where he's given us all these great and precious promises. But you know what? They don't do us any good unless we take them and appropriate them to ourselves. Yes, oh boy, there's some great promises in there. Well, you know what? They only help us if we believe them, if we take them to ourselves, if we trust our Lord, that he can, giving glory to God, that he is able to do what he has promised. May the Lord bless his word. Thank you.